This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be doing a little Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, finding ourselves in John chapter 4, near the end of that chapter, where Jesus has been doing a lot of signs, a lot of miracles. A man approaches him, and the first reaction Jesus has is to say, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." So it raises the question, what is the proper relationship between the miracles, the many miracles that Jesus did do, and the faith that the Word of God works in the hearts of even the unbelieving? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
What is the proper relationship that we should note, not only in this account, but throughout all the gospel accounts, between the miracles that Jesus did and the faith that he was really looking for, the faith that he was working in the hearts of those who heard and believed?
That's at the heart of the matter, isn't it? Because his miracles, just like the miracles in the Old Testament, they point to him, to who he is, to who he is for us. But if we have faith in the miracle, or if all of our believing is in Jesus as a miracle worker, someone who can do great signs and wonders here in this life, then we miss what these are all pointing to. Yes, he can heal the blind man. Yes, here he raises someone back to earthly life who has died. But he has come to give us eternal life, and that's a miracle we can't even fathom. In our human minds, what does that mean? But it is the greatest miracle, because that's the miracle that defeats all the things that have gone wrong, all the needs that we have. It's the miracle that fills it all, provides all, and gives us life for eternity. And that's what these miracles should be pointing us to, not just this great miracle worker, but to the Son of God, who has the power to save us from sin, death, and the devil, not just these everyday run-of-the-mill miracles for Jesus, not run-of-the-mill for us. But really, these aren't the thing. They should point us to the thing that he has come to do for us, and that is to die on the cross, pay for our sins, and give us eternal life.
So tell us the story, and if you would, just, it is a kind of a short account here.
Sure.
Give us a little bit of where Jesus is at this time, and tell us the story.
Sure, and you know, this is part of our summer journey series, so we've been bouncing all over Scripture, picking up Bible stories that have people on the move, a good theme for summer Sunday school. This comes in the fourth chapter of the book of John, and it comes right after that wonderful account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, and him talking to her about all that she ever knew. And it comes, the whole chapter comes after chapter 3 and Nicodemus questioning Jesus about who he is, and that great gospel in the nutshell, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," is spoken there. So this is a rich section of Scripture, the book of John, one of my favorites. And here we have in the 46th verse, long chapter, chapter 4, that Jesus comes again to Cana in Galilee. And John notes that that is where he made water into wine. And it's very interesting that he notes this, because in that, he's reminding us of Jesus' first miracle, miracle that was performed there in Cana of turning water into wine at the wedding feast. And he learns of an officer, an official in Capernaum whose son is ill. And this man had heard about Jesus, obviously had heard about his miracles or something, because when he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and he asked him to come and heal his son. He knew his son was dying. He knew his son would not recover. And Jesus was really quite in his face and said, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And the official simply says to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies," begging him really to come and do what he believed he could do from what he'd heard. Jesus says simply that, "Go, your son will live." Now, that's quite a statement to make. Sends him home really empty-handed, only with those five words, "Go, your son will live." But the man believed the word that Jesus spoke, and he went on his way. And as he goes, he runs into his servants. They've come to meet him, and they tell him, "Your son is recovering." And that's quite a thing. He asks then, "Well, when did this happen? When did he start getting better?" And they tell him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Verse 53, the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And there, John says to us, "And he himself believed, and all his household." This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. So there's where the belief comes in, the faith that trusts Jesus for all things. But you see the progression of it here.
Now, we might be tempted to read John's description here as though kind of the man was somewhat doubtful. He was hopeful of Jesus' promise when he found out his son was healed. Then he really was convinced. But it sounds like you're saying more is going on here than just something isolated to this incident. He is believing something about Jesus rather than just about Jesus' ability to heal.
Well, I think so. I think this is growing in him. He encountered Christ. He spoke to Christ, and Jesus, he says to him, "Go, your son will live." Those are words of life. Those are words of certainty and words of promise. And, you know, there we have the man believed the word that Jesus spoke, and he went on his way. And then he finds out that, indeed, those words were true. His son did not die. His son lived. And the only way we can believe, we know this, we confess this, that it is the Holy Spirit working through God's Word and the Holy Spirit planting faith and trust and belief in our hearts. So the Spirit is at work here through the encounter with Jesus, through hearing the Son of God speak to him this certain word about his son, and then realizing and seeing for himself that his son believed, or that his son lived, hearing that from the servants. And so clear here, John says, "And he himself believed in all his household." And there's a great statement of a young and old, a whole family coming to faith because of Jesus and who he is and what he has done. But the miracle is there, but the important thing is the faith, isn't it? Not trusting in Jesus to do these great things, but trusting in him for their whole lives, for salvation, trusting in him to be who he is, the Son of God who's come to save us.
So we started out by saying, noting Jesus' words, "Unless you see a sign, you will not believe."
Mm-hmm.
And here comes a man who does not see a sign.
That's right.
He believes, then he goes and does see the sign, and we might say, further believes. Is that kind of the point of this entire thing?
Yeah, I think that's right. The greatest miracle here really is occurred when the man believed Jesus' word and went home with nothing to show for his trip except that word of God. And maybe his faith at that point was as small as a mustard seed, but he had faith in the word of God. And then the next day he learns the truth about his son recovering, and at the same time that Jesus spoke that word, he's moved beyond a shallow belief there and beyond this that Jesus might have been just a miracle worker, but he believes that he is Lord over life and death. You see a progression of that and his faith deepening and strengthening from the encounter with Christ.
With only a minute here, Pam, who did that miracle of faith?
Who did that miracle of faith?
Yeah.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit working through the Word of God, working through the Son, bringing the Son to encounter with this man. It wasn't the man believing. This was God working faith through His Spirit, as we know He does. And He encountered the Word of God. He encountered the living Word, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that is where the miracle of faith came from, not from his heart, but from the living Word.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus healing an official's son. It's, I guess you could call it a long-distance healing, although I don't know if it's long-distance. The distance doesn't seem to be the issue here. What seems to be the issue is hearing the promise of Christ, believing the promise of Christ, and it's not the faith that does the miracle. It's not this man's belief that caused the son to be healed. It's the word of Jesus, the promise of Jesus. Jesus does the miracle in both cases, the miracle of the man's faith and the miracle of the son's healing. We'll talk more about this and how it pertains to us today after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guests, Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 12th. We're talking about the account of Jesus healing the official son. Two miracles taking place here. First, the faith that Jesus gives to this man to believe his promise, and then he keeps that promise, yet another miracle. He is indeed a miracle worker. We just underestimate the nature of his miracles. Pam, is there anything parallel to this situation among us today, in the church today?
Well, you know, in this story, we have an invitation to us to believe the word of Jesus. The official has only the word, the one word, his encounter with Jesus to go on. But we've got the testimony of all of Scripture, and we've got the sacraments that our Lord has left his church, those sacraments and his word that give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. You know, through these, really, we're able to know so much more about our Lord than this official on the side of the road with Jesus that day. He gives us all of his word, all of his miracles. We can read them again and again. We can hear them preached. We receive his body and blood. We receive the baptism, the water of life poured over us. All of these things, gifts to us, gifts of life, and miracles in what they do and what they deliver. Not just symbols, not just remembrances, but baptism really does make us a child of God, really does grant forgiveness of our sins. The Lord's Supper makes us partakers in his death and resurrection, as does baptism, grants us forgiveness, grants us life and salvation, not just mere words. And these all three, the word and the sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper, work faith in our heart and strengthen the faith that they've already established. And so when you look at those are daily miracles. Every time we come to God's Word, we read it, we hear it, he's working his power and his word in us. When we go to church and we confess our sins and we hear the pastor stand in the stead of our Lord and pronounce the forgiveness of sins to us, we're witnessing, we're hearing, and we're recipients of a miracle, a greater miracle than anything like this Bible story, because it's a miracle for eternity. When water's poured over an infant or an adult or any person in holy baptism and paired with the Word of God, that's a miracle, a life-giving miracle, as is taking the little wafer of bread and the little sip of wine onto our tongues. We receive the miracle of the forgiveness of sins. These are gifts God gives us, rich gifts in mercy.
The parallel is really quite remarkable, mm-hmm. Pam, because when you receive the Lord's Supper, it's not like you feel some sort of magical tingling on your tongue or something like that.
That's right.
And when a baby is baptized, many have remarked that to watch a baby baptized seems so ordinary. We don't detect a change. We can't sense something that God has done there. All we have to hang on to, kind of like this man coming to Jesus, is the word that even as he speaks that word, what he says is true. I mean, that seems to be kind of the point of this whole thing, that the guy's son was actually healed when Jesus said, "Your son will live," not sometime later.
That's right. We have his word. And that's where faith comes in, isn't it? It's not about seeing the big flash in the sky or some big visible thing happening. We don't see it. We believe it, and we believe it because he grants us that faith, because by his grace he allows us to believe and gives us that faith. We can't see him, and we have to live in faith just as this man did who walked away. And that really... 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 talks about that. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is one of those unseen, eternal realities for us, forgiveness, life, and salvation. I can't hold that in my hand, but God gives us He does give us His Word to read, to hear. He gives us these physical elements because He knows our weaknesses. But the power is not in words on a page or in elements. The power is in His Word that is true, true now and true in eternity.
So when the pastor says, your sins are forgiven, can we trust those being Christ's words that what He says and promises right then, right there, is true right then and right there?
Absolutely. That's where this whole business of who Jesus is for us, this whole business of faith, if we don't believe that, where is our faith? That's what faith is, trusting the words and promises of God, trusting them for us and for what they do and give and work for us, both now and in eternity. That's exactly where it all is. It's the heart of the matter, isn't it?
You mentioned this before, but talk briefly, if you would, about this as our conversation winds to a close, and that is, this is a miracle of faith, ultimately, not only for this one individual man, but the entire household. I imagine the servants who came to give him the good news, everyone, including the son who had recovered, are all granted the miracle of faith through this miracle that Jesus works.
Well, that's right. The father goes home. They all see the miracle. Surely the father talked about his encounter with Jesus, what Jesus said. The son lives, and the text ends, and he himself believed, he being the father, and all his household. And this is what happens. God works in us, grants us faith, gives us the miracle of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. We talk about it, we share it, and we share his word and his promises with others. And his power, his word, his promise draw all men to him in faith. And that's what's going on here, not just the father, but the whole household, the family, the servants, all there now believing, seeing and believing. Makes me think of Thomas, right, after Easter. Wasn't sure, was this really the risen Lord? He saw and believed, and that seeing strengthened those other disciples that day. God uses all these things. He knows our weaknesses, but we have to trust his words and promises, and he gives us the ability to do that, strengthening us through his word and sacraments.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Growing in Christ does a great job of focusing each and every Sunday school lesson where Scripture wants the focus to be in each and every lesson, on Jesus himself. There's so many ways to misread this. You could read the exact same story and come away thinking that somehow this man did a little miracle of his own by believing, or that it was his strength of will that made this possible, or that somehow his belief caused the miracle. But if you carefully read these texts and stick with them, as Growing in Christ does with every lesson, you realize it's Jesus who does the miracles here. It's Jesus who speaks the word. It's Jesus who causes all of this, even the faith, not only in that man's heart, but in ours. A great example of how Growing in Christ, this fantastic Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, does this Sunday after Sunday. Find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample you can see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Next week, we'll talk with Pam about Jesus' journey to Bethany in Luke chapter 10. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us. We'll talk to her about the state of Illinois making a decision not to renew its foster care and adoption contracts with Catholic Charities. This is a big deal. They're doing so because Catholic Charities is refusing to place children with unmarried cohabiting couples. We'll see what Jennifer has to say. Gretchen Pasentino will explain to us what the Tibetan Buddhist mandala is, a meditation tool to find the inner Buddha in you. And then we'll do a little Issues Etc. comment line to round off this Tuesday's Issues Etc. When we say all we have to trust in, is Christ's promises. All we have to cling to are the promises he makes to us in his word. Let's not misunderstand that. We're not saying that that's a small thing. All we have are God's promises. All we have are his word. But if you have his word, and Christians have his word, you have everything. All this man had to go on was what Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." And going on Christ's word, he returned to find out that his son did live. You see, having the word, he had what the word promised. So when we say all we have is the word, we're not saying we don't have much, poor us, wish we had more. No. When all you have is God's word, you have all God has to give you. It's all wrapped up there in the sure promises of his word, sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ himself. We'll be right back. Hour two of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.